Welcome to I'm Spiritual, Damn It. I'm your host, Jennifer Weigel, where each week we have conversations that are spiritual, damn it. Joining me in studio, Elizabeth Romo. She is a medium, an intuitive, spiritual advisor. Did I miss anything, Elizabeth?
I'm a minister.
A minister, okay.
A spiritual counselor and a spiritual teacher.
Got it. A lot of hats you wear. Today, you're the hat of all of them. Ready, go. Well, for those who don't know, because we have met through the Chicago International Association of Near-Death Studies, which is IANDS is the acronym. They meet every month at Evanston Hospital, the second Saturday of every month. The goal of IANS, Chicago IANS, which was founded by Diane Willis 20 years ago, is to make people less afraid of death. Because is it true, Elizabeth, 1 in 10 people experiences a near-death experience? I believe that's the statistic that Diane uses a lot.
I believe so.
So you're going to be speaking at Chicago IANS on February 11th, 2 o'clock at the auditorium at Evanston Hospital for those who are interested and want to attend. But for those who don't know, Elizabeth, tell me, where did you grow up and how did you know that you had this radar? When did it start clicking for you?
I was born and raised in Chicago.
Great.
Six Corners, the original and the one and only Six Corners, mm-hmm. Irving Park, Cicero, Milwaukee. And my family background, my grandmother was quite intuitive, and her female mother and grandmother were very intuitive.
So it ran in the family for generations.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I knew since when I was younger that I was now you call it an empath.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a twin sister.
Gotcha.
And
could you guys read each other's minds?
We would speak.
For each other? Finish each other's sentences?
When we were young. And surprisingly, I was the one that was very quiet. There were like several years when I was small that I really didn't talk.
Is it because your mind was just going on overdrive hearing everyone else's thoughts?
No, I don't know. I think I was on sensory overload.
Sure, sure.
But
so for a lot of parents now, actually, this is interesting you bring this up, Elizabeth, because a lot of parents now freak out that if their kids aren't talking by 2. I see this a lot. My son didn't start until about 3. Between 2 and 3, there was a lot of worry and concern, but he's incredibly intuitive. He's got some medium tendencies, very psychic, all sorts of stuff is going on there. So for anybody who's listening right now and their child isn't talking in their 18 months or 2, what advice would you give them?
Keep talking to them. Mm-hmm. Keep them engaged. Know that they're doing everything that they're observing. Mm-hmm. I've come to learn that I came in as an observer.
Got it.
So I came in to see, where do I fit in? The other thing is that child is obviously very sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So they're picking up they're picking up feelings.
And they're picking up the parents' angst, probably.
They're picking up all the feelings. Mm-hmm. And actually, I've also come to learn that I was like the anchor of the family emotionally.
Mm.
Not that I could handle everything, but I was almost like I'd be the cleanup person emotionally to pick up if there was anger, if there was sorrow. I was the one that kind of
absorbed it. Mm. Well, then you had to learn how to deactivate that, didn't you? Otherwise, you would be sick and in bed and not able to move, right?
But it was all done intuitively, so there was nothing spoken. There was nothing really even understood about that. I didn't understand that until as an adult.
Right.
And I started doing this work that I actually look back and say, now my stillness, my quietness, my reserve,
mm-hmm.
that all had to do with me evolving
Got it.
To who I am.
So take me back. We're growing up in Chicago. You're a twin. How many other siblings did you have other than your twin?
Well, there are 3 boys and 3 girls. So I have another sister.
Mm-hmm. And then 3 brothers.
Yes.
So in that family, you're kind of figuring out your gifts and what they are. You're empathic, so you're feeling other people's stuff. When's the first time you knew that you had the mediumship capabilities? For those listening, that's connecting to the deceased on the other side. Did you have somebody who'd passed away in your family and they came to you, or
right,
what happened?
No. What happened was it took a lot of time before it was my time to do my work.
Sure.
So the joke is, what I say is, I had a normal life.
Normal, she puts loosely in quotes, air quotes.
I had a normal life where I went to school, mm-hmm. went to college, married, worked.
Right.
Then went home, stayed home and had a family.
Right.
And in that time, that was my time to slow down, to come out of public life, working, being out among the public, out of the routine, mm-hmm. come home, I was an at-home mom for many years.
Yeah.
And that's when spirit had me slowing down, literally slowing down, slowing down, slowing down, because that's when you listen.
Mm. So when you quiet your life, that's when the radar is on in full bloom, and that's when the messages started to download for you?
That's when I knew that. Oh, and also in being very artistic,
mm-hmm.
our artistic side, our right hemisphere, where mm-hmm. it's the music and it's the arts and it's movement and all of that. That's what opens up our spiritual side, our spirituality,
mm-hmm.
Because that's all senses and shapes and figures and images,
sure.
sounds,
okay.
vibrations.
So don't let that go dormant.
Right. And that's why meditation's so important now. Mm-hmm. Yoga's part of that. That's so important now. Being still, honoring your time, being quiet. And that's why sometimes too much stimulation with TV, too much stimulation with telephone, with everything that distracts you,
mm-hmm.
can you know, we need to know when to stop and turn that off and go within
and get the messages
and listen to yourself.
Right.
How does this feel? How does that feel towards you?
When did you first start trusting that that's what was happening for you?
Well,
and were you okay with it?
No, I was not okay with it.
Okay. So you were kicking and screaming along the way a little bit.
Yeah. So that's what we called the spiritual awakening.
And yes.
So my spiritual awakening was after I was home. My daughter was five.
Mm-hmm.
And I had already been an at-home mom now for 5 years, kicking and screaming about that because I was a very fast-paced mover. I talked fast. I moved fast. I did everything.
You were a doer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still a doer.
Yeah.
And sometimes people don't like that either.
But so you're at home.
Organized doer.
You got a five-year-old.
Right. But spirit had slowed me down enough to say, take the floral classes, start working with florals, start working with paint, start working with interior decorating. And so I did all of those things, which are very much more and more artistic. And I'd never had time to do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I took the floral class and I loved it and I did nice work and I did landscaping and that turned out and painting and... And so you're like, okay, so you slow down and so learned how to sew.
Whoa, and that's serious.
So when I was...
You weren't like making clothes or anything.
Yes.
Holy cow, now you're showing off.
No, I learned, and that's when awesome. I was married at the time and my husband even said, I have to take a picture. I've never seen you sitting in one place so long.
Honey, let me work on your hem. Hold on, the pants are a little too long.
Yeah. So I had a lady that taught me how to sew.
Okay.
But it was then that's the spiritual awakening when spirit said...
You heard.
In a reading. It came through in a reading.
So who were you getting read by? Or somebody else?
The interesting thing was I had a friend who I knew and from Chicago and worked in Chicago, and she went to like an ashram in Massachusetts or something.
Mm-hmm.
She stayed there. She lived there.
That ashram capital that it is.
Right. And,
okay.
And once she came to visit, and mm-hmm. she said she had a business card, and she said, don't you ever like to have readings? And I said, yeah, every once in a while I have a reading.
Yeah.
So she gave me the card, and she said, I've never worked with this woman. She's mm-hmm. in Colorado. And if you ever want a reading, why don't you try her? And I'm thinking, what is that about?
Right. If she's ever worked with her, why would she recommend her? Okay.
But she came very highly recommended.
Oh, got it.
So months later... I did. I decided I wanted a reading, and mm-hmm. so I called this woman up, and we had a relationship like every 6 months. I would call her twice a year.
But what did she say that really resonated for you?
Well, it was after the third year that we'd been working together. She said, and this was a spiritual awakening, she said, are you finished? Our session's over. Are you finished with your questions? And I said, yes, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, the angels want to tell you something.
Like,
so now you've got my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm here, and actually I was in the suburbs, mm-hmm. and I said, yes. And she's in Colorado over the phone, and she said, the angel said it's time for you to do your work.
Mm-hmm. And you were like, well, dinner's in the oven. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I knew exactly what they...
Mm-hmm.
So I sat there and started crying, and I said, how am I supposed to do that? Who's going to teach me? Who's going to show me?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you'll figure it out, and hung up.
Were you like, refund? Darn it.
No, that's it. That's it.
She told you the what, then you needed the how.
Yeah.
But you figured out the how.
Well, they said to meditate.
Okay. So there's the meditation again.
You'll figure it out.
That's right. So when you get quiet enough to still those voices in your head, so did you start diligently meditating for the answers?
I couldn't stand meditating. I because I couldn't sit down long enough.
Join the club. I'm one of those people too. But, I call running meditating because,
yes,
you know,
is,
it sort of
you're
is.
In a different zone.
Right.
But,
okay.
So when I started reading metaphysical books, that's what they called them.
Sure.
I decide on metaphysical.
So you like went to Transitions Bookstore
well,
when it was
I just,
open.
I would let the book, I would find the book and the right. book that interests me and
started reading up.
I took energy Reiki classes and some energy classes, and I tested myself. I tested myself to sit quietly. So I did. I went and bought meditation books, and they didn't help me at all. So I just developed my own way to meditate, and that worked. It was just sitting and being quiet,
right?
And just focusing on a.
Some people need focus on your breath. Some people need in for five, hold for five, out for five. Some people need to listen to classical music. Some people need no music at all. Everybody's is different. There is no one perfect way.
Absolutely.
Okay. So knowing that for anyone who's listening and like, I tried meditation, not for me. I guess you just need to mold your own format. It's kind of like getting your own synopsis, or rather, syllabus.
Right.
Okay.
And because there is no wrong way, though, that you have to give yourself a chance. And I would put a clock there, and I'd give myself 5 minutes. Okay, just do this for 5 minutes. You can do this for 5 minutes. So I'd sit and just close your eyes and don't let anyone interrupt you and just breathe. But the most important thing that I've truly learned through meditation is it's our intention. And that's what I teach people now. It's like when you sit, doesn't matter if you're sitting on the L and you go, okay, I'm going to be here with myself and my divine essence with creation. I'm connecting. That's my intention, to connect
to source,
connect to my soul and my soul through source, to up to source.
Okay.
And that's the intention. And when you say that, you say, okay, I'm just going to be all right with this, and I'll allow and sit and be in the quiet with that, and don't expect to, when you come back and you're aware again, don't expect to have a news flash in front of your face, or oh, I've got this wonderful idea, or I saw things, or I felt things. No, because the beauty of meditation is to calm our physical body down, to calm our mind so that we feel at peace. And in that quiet, that's when the new idea comes, or that's when that's when you get your intuition and you get your feelings and your knowings.
Right.
So it's the allowing.
The allowing. And it comes through like a lightning bolt. You know, Echo Bodine, the author, intuitive psychic, she said that when you have that idea that flies through like an airplane, just zoom, that's it. That's your intuition. It's when you think about it too much, sometimes your ego gets in the way, and then your mind is in the way, and then you're like, oh, it must be so because I couldn't get it out of my mind. That might not necessarily be your intuition, but those flashes that come so out of nowhere when you're either meditating or even driving or walking, that is usually intuition. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. So that starts happening for you more, so then you start trusting it more.
Yes.
And then when did the deceased come talking, or was it audience, or was it visual, or what was your, well, you know, all the clairs, we call it clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient. What was your clair on that?
What happened was, so then I would test myself, because I came to know when the angel said it's time to do your work. I sat there, hung up the phone, and I knew that I just intuitively knew that, oh my gosh, I have to bring messages to other people. I have to give readings, and that was my interpretation at the time, and you evolve.
Because you know what? Anybody, I mean, the skeptic that's listening to this could say, anybody could say on the phone, it's time to do your work, and you could take that to mean, I have to go balance my checkbook. I have to go finish my kid's project. They could fit that sentence as a broad enough sentence that you could fit it into anybody's life. But you had been sort of craving something more and involving yourself and ingesting more, so you took that to mean what it is, which is that you need to deliver messages, correct?
Well, they said the angels are saying it's time for you to do your work.
Sure.
So what I did was, I thought I took it seriously enough to know, especially because of my own background, that speaking with a psychic, getting a reading, was not far-fetched to me. Thinking of reincarnation was not far-fetched to me because of my past and the stories that my grandmother had told my sister and I growing up about the unusual experiences she had, the unusual knowings, and then her mother and her grandmother had. I didn't think anything this was crazy. So I sat and I tested myself, and I said, okay, spirit, which I'm talking to myself, I'm talking to my soul, okay, spirit.
Yes.
If I'm supposed to do this work, you better show me.
That's a good request.
Yeah. So I would sit and meditate, and then I would say, okay, I would ask about things that were happening at my husband's work, because I was at home now. So there wasn't too much happening there because I could control all that. Mm-hmm. I'd say, well, could you give me some information about my spouse? What's going on over there?
Right.
And so I'd wait a few minutes and I'd get some things and I'd write it down. And then when he would come home, I would test it out. And it would be relatively pretty accurate. And
right.
I thought, okay. And then he'd say, why are you asking me this? And I was just checking.
Just checking.
But the biggest thing was when I truly, after about 6 or 8 months, when things were, and then I did have my sisters allowed me to read for them. And my brother-in-law was really very happy about it and said, you can read for me anytime. And when I would read for him and I wouldn't know what was going on at work, he'd say, that's exactly right. Keep going.
Whatever. Do you find that the people you don't know, you get a clearer sense of what's going on for them because there's no emotional attachment to the outcome? Or the people that are, I'm not saying you don't know your brother-in-law, but it's a little bit less personal than your husband.
Right.
Right.
Oh, my husband didn't want any part of it.
Okay. So. Good deal.
But what actually happened was I said, as time went on, and things were actually clicking, that truly made me feel more and more responsible to use my gift. Because the other part of this is if you have a talent, if you don't use a talent that you came here with, it's like taking one or two of your arms and putting them behind your back and saying, okay, I don't want to use it.
Right.
And so you will be held on a soul level, you'll be held accountable for that, for not using that talent.
So when you have your life review, as many people believe that you have, when you get to the other side and you see how you affected everybody and what you did and what you didn't accomplish, that'll come up as a got to do that one again,
well,
possibly.
On a soul level, you yourself will be kicking yourself all the way up saying,
right.
Oh, no,
jeez.
I was a chicken. I was a coward.
Right.
I didn't do my best, because then that's our other part. They're like, why are we here?
Right. Why are we here, Elizabeth?
Well, from what I understand,
what the angels tell you.
Actually, it's not the angels.
Yeah, what your soul tells you.
It's our soul. Mm-hmm. It's our soul, because our soul's really steering the ship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is that we're here to remember that we are one with Source, that we're one with Creator, and that we are the energy of the divine. We're part of the angelic realm. Mm-hmm. We are part of all that is, and we need to remember that we are here more as a spirit,
right,
as a spiritual being, than as this physical body. And that is part of the awakening that we're going through now, and that's a great part of what the angelic realm brings, is they're here to say, we're here to support you and help you to feel comfortable and confident that you can get through your own stuff,
right,
our own misgivings and our own limited beliefs and our fears. And that's just us working things out with ourselves, and that energy is here to help us to do that.
And the fears are taking center stage right now with a lot of people, you know, and so polarizing. I just saw a video of somebody who's leading a protest trying to, you know, anti-Trump protest about, oh, it's time to start killing. Okay, so here's the thing, everybody who's listening. The vibration of hate and the vibration of love are all we have. And if we don't rise above all of this hate, you know, when you're on the other side, and I'm sure you can attest to this, Elizabeth, like, Source does not know right or wrong. It just knows love or hate. So which one are you going to promote? The higher vibration, or are you going to go stoop to that low vibration that just continues the sludge, continues the drama? Because you can still send loving vibrations and stand with justice and believe in something true. You're not rolling over and letting a steamroller come over you. You're standing, like I was saying this the other day, like an oak tree with deep roots. And so all of this fear that's coming up right now and people wanting to go tit for tat, it's not getting you anywhere. Right. We have to go higher. And I don't want to use that, if when they go low, we go high. That has now lost all value for me, because it's being overused by people who are going low,
right?
And so what bottom line is that we have to come from a loving place, because love is the ultimate water that puts out the fire of hate. It's the only thing. You know, when you think about a child, and as a mother, you know this, when your child is having a hysterical fit, you don't kick them so they cry harder. You hold them and you nurture them and you hold them and you love them. So all of these people who are having fits need love right now. They need it bad, because the fits are not stopping. So anyway, back to what you were talking about with the messages of why we're here. You get these downloads now, and in every session you have, I'm sure you have little insights that these people aren't hearing themselves because of your meditation and you're tapping into your soul and to source.
When you have a session with any intuitive, psychic, medium, whatever label you want to put on them, they're bringing the information. That information is coming right from your soul. On some level, your soul has to agree, I'm going to work with this person and allow them to pick up my information.
Mm-hmm.
The words that come, the messages that come, the people say, first they say, how do you know that?
Right.
Then they say, I understand that. What's this visual mean to you? And they understand exactly why spirit showed that.
Right.
That's their language. They understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the messages are here to uplift you and support you and say, I understand you're going through this hard time in this and this and this way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're looking at it this way, but can you please consider
an
alternative?
Another alternative. Mm-hmm.
And 9 out of 10 times people say, I never thought of that. I mm-hmm. never thought about what he was thinking or what she was thinking. I never thought it in that particular way or something like that. So spirit, your own soul is saying, get out of your way. You know, calm down. First of all, calm down.
Right.
You're very much in the material and the physical world, and that's where most of us are, and that's what's getting us this huge rise.
Right.
Everything is me and mine, and mm-hmm. and we can't go there anymore. So now it's about finding the centering yourself and finding the time and the space for you to be comfortable with mm-hmm. yourself
mm-hmm.
and breathe and stay, if you can, that's what the goal is, to stay connected to source and just say, okay, I might not have a lot of experience with this, but show me.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you open yourself to that experience, the more your soul will say, yes, this is the highest and the best, what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you have the angelic realm come in and say, we'll help you, we support you with this. And the more you can stay calm and breathe and look out and see others and understand that they are in fear. If you're calm, you will send out the energy of calm. Mm-hmm. If you can say, okay, you know what? I really know that there really needs to be more brotherly love now. So you know what? Instead of me being upset with you, honking that horn, or me be upset with you for, you know, keeping that spare change when you know.
Could give it away. Yeah.
Someone else, you know what? I'm going to send out blessings to you, blessings
right.
to me.
Right.
And help calm the energy, be the calm in the storm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like each one of us can be the anchor.
Right.
Not only for ourselves, but to send that energy out to others and your family and your friends. And if we each did just a little bit of that every day, we would calm down.
Right. Well, like does attract like. It's like the two cells in the mm-hmm. petri dishes. They start vibrating at the same, you know, tempo as they are next to each other just by being around it. And so what we surround ourselves with, who we surround ourselves with, makes a difference in these very trying times. I know a lot of people that want to just kind of commiserate and sit around and complain. And I get that. And I mean, I was there for a little bit. I get it. But at the same token, you have to get out of bed and you have to move forward. I'm a parent. I've got to get my son to school. I've got to get to work. All of these things have to happen. And at the same token, in my quiet time, I can consciously think about trying to raise that vibration so that we can make really educated decisions instead of snap judgments without all the information. One thing that I have noticed, having been in the media for a very long time and having worked in both TV and radio and in print, the media is very biased. I know this from being a part of it. Every reporter that's on the street decides what sound bites they're going to put in their package. Every editor that edits a newspaper column takes out 500 words because of space, and that's their decision on which 500 stay and which 500 go. It is so subjective, and it is rampant. And so the only news I think that we're really going to be getting is from regular people who use their cameras to document what's really happening in the world. You know, I have a friend who goes around to different countries and he just takes his iPhone and he points it in places where we have judgments about certain places. He points the camera and says, this is what it's like at this time of this day in this moment. Because we can never make a general sweeping, you know, people would assume something about this suburb or that suburb or this part of the city. It's always different at different times, everywhere. And there's always 75 sides to every story, not just two sides to every story.
Right.
So we have to be discerning with the information that's coming through. I see headlines now as a journalist that make me my skin crawl. I watch the reporters on TV and sentences and prepositions. You know, you can't tell everyone's story in 30 seconds, and that's what they're trying to do. So for me, I just try to read as much as I can and absorb as much as I can. What do you suggest people do right now in these trying times as we try to get settled and calm down, other than meditate every day, which some people might say I suck at that?
Well, you know, meditation has a bad rap, and I can attest to it because, I mean, I tried it and I failed.
Yeah. Okay.
But what meditation really means, just take the time, even if it's a minute or two, when you feel like you're out of balance, mm-hmm. if too much you're overwhelmed in something, or you're listening to too much media, too much radio, too much TV, too much print, mm-hmm. Center yourself and just think, this is one view. Mm-hmm. This is the worldly view. I'm going to open my heart and I'm going to say, thank you for this experience. I choose peace. Mm-hmm. I choose balance. I connect with my soul and I want to go higher. I want to connect with the divine. Mm-hmm. Now, that only takes less than a minute.
Right.
And if you can sit and stay in that energy of, okay, I accept these energy of peace and literally see or feel, I suggest that people either feel it as if it's sunlight falling down on you, if it's the water in a shower, if it's water splashing your face. Just be in this peaceful energy that you yourself can feel, mm-hmm. in any way that you feel it. And then allow yourself to say, okay, and I share this with others.
Boom.
Just blanket it out. Mm-hmm. And this can take a minute or two.
Right.
If you have time to sit for 5 minutes, or if you want to just focus, say you're having your coffee and you're focusing on a beautiful picture of your child or something that makes you happy.
Right.
If it's flowers, it's a picture of family, and you can decide to think and say, I love my family. Mm-hmm. I love nature. Mm-hmm. I love being here. I love being here in the city. I love being here in the mountains, wherever it is.
Right. I love this moment right now.
I send this love out to all that is.
Wow.
It's that easy because it's your intention.
Right. Out to all that is. I like that.
All
I'm going to make
is.
A note that. So it's not just people are like, oh, I send this to my family and my friends and, you know,
all blah, that is.
No, to all that is. And then that's the other thing. Well, we are all connected, whether or not you're on this side of the political spectrum or that side. We're part of the same Oriental rug people.
Right.
There's light and there's dark and there's a pattern, but we're all connected and we have to figure this out. That's the other part that people think that we are isolated. But every person I've interviewed that has either worked with those who have died, talks to the other side, or has died themselves and come back, they say that is the big aha, that we're part of the same Oriental rug and there's a lot of different patterns, but we can't think that we're separate from. We are all that is.
We are one with creation.
We are one with creation.
One with creation.
Now, we still didn't get back to when you heard your first dead person.
Well, you know, I was thinking of that myself. Okay. I thought, well, because I did have this major shift towards mediumship, mm-hmm. about 4 years ago.
Got it.
But when I truly look back, when I first started truly doing my first readings, and I put a little ad in a magazine, mm-hmm. that said angel readings and my name and my number.
Were you scared when you did it?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, what did I just do?
This is over 23 years ago.
Okay.
And
who called? Who was your first call?
I can't remember who they were, but what usually happened was, mm-hmm. I would say, how can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
And people would always just, I'd ask their name and they don't give me their first name,
sure.
and that's fine. And then I'd say, okay, I'm going to focus on your name. Please, mm-hmm. give me a minute or two and let's see what spirit, meaning your soul, has to say.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere they must have had on their heart and mind, because you will get the messages that's on your heart and mind, about someone who's crossed, because every time within that first year, it always turned out to be mediumship, because I'd say, well, there's a gentleman here that's either your father or your husband, and then I'd start to scribe and they'd say, yep, that's my husband. I said, mm-hmm. okay. And then I'd bring the message,
mm-hmm.
and that's exactly who they wanted to hear from. So they're really, that was the first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd hang up the phone and go, wow, I'm glad that was great. And wouldn't even think about
right.
what kind of a reading was that.
Right.
But, in the past 5 years, it's been more and more mediumship, because what happens is when you have a session with someone and you say, I'm working with my guides, I'm going to meet with your guides,
mm-hmm.
and you allow to bring the information that's in your highest and best good.
Right. And that could be a combo platter of who knows what.
That's what usually happens. Mm-hmm. What had happened was I would start to get information about them and their life, and it's usually about one or two aspects of their lives or a belief or something that they might want to look at mm-hmm. and alter for their highest and best good if they're able to. But then after a few minutes of information about them, then I would see in my mind's eye, I'd see, oh, there's someone stepping forward. And I would start to describe, well, there's a male or there's a female and mm-hmm. it's your father, it's your husband. And I'd have the feeling as to who it is. Mm-hmm. And then that's when the mediumship came in more and more, is because those energies knew I was open, they were open, and that I could reach because of my work and literally mm-hmm. practicing, doing more and more. You can reach those higher levels because right. that's a higher vibration. And then that's when mediumships really started to come in
to your work,
full blown. And then spirit would just said that. So now I ask people, are you truly here for a mediumship session, or are you here for a reading? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's both.
Right, right. Because sometimes they need to hear from somebody on the other side
Absolutely.
To get past something. I know when my dad first passed away, I was really stuck in this, I don't want to disappoint my dead dad and get out of the career that I know he wanted me to have when I wasn't happy doing fires and hit-and-run accidents. But, you know, it took a while for me to get over that hump when messages from him came over through people like yourself that I know could not have been researched ahead of time. That's my big thing as a journalist. You know, I like my sources to be someone I can call, preferably on a landline, if you know what I'm talking about, not somebody such as yourself, no offense, but it was hard for me to wrap my head around until enough people came forward with things they could not have possibly found on the internet that I didn't share with anybody. So then for the ultimate skeptics, they say, well, Jen, these people are just mentalists. They're just reading what's on your mind because it is on your mind. So what do you say to that? Because mentalists, that's a whole different thing. That is a gift. Some people who can literally read what other people are thinking. But what you do is not a mentalist. Explain the difference between a medium and a mentalist.
Well, my only way to explain that would be the details and the memories that come up are so old that even you, the client that mm-hmm. I'm reading for, you don't even have those on your mind.
That's right. Right.
You're not mm-hmm. thinking of them.
Right.
I sat with a young lady years ago, and I had just her first name. So I said, you know, give me a minute. As she walks in, I'm getting her first name. It's not like I even had it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a reading, and then her father, who was deceased, came through. And as I'm describing him and his personality, and that's what I love about spirit, with me, they don't tell me how exactly they passed. And they don't give me sometimes even the most obvious things you'd think. They don't need to know that. They tell me is that my child, my family knows how I passed.
Mm. You told me sometimes they swear, depending on their personality. You were
right.
just telling me that. They
right.
might drop an F-bomb because right. that's who they were.
That's who they were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they don't go over, I passed in this way and this mm-hmm. is, because that's the hard part. What they always want to say is, and they do say is, don't remember me as
in
the
my
way
sick.
I passed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not who I was.
Right.
I was truly that for a very short period of time. This is how I want you to remember me. And they pull out experiences and memories that person says, oh my gosh,
right?
I forgot that. And one of the best ones that I always remember is as I was working with this young lady who couldn't have been more than 29 or 30, 32 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And her father came through and I'm describing him and my eyes are closed. So I don't even see what's your face, the reaction of your face. So my eyes are closed and I'm bringing this information. And I said, he's sitting there and he pulled a box out of his hand, but oh, it's a small box. Oh, it's a shoe box.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's picking things up, I said, oh, these are cards. These are the cards that you've made him since you were a child. He has a shoebox full of the cards, and he wants you to remember and know that he still cherishes these cards because this was you showing him your love, and he'll never forget this. This is one of his favorite things,
yeah.
that he remembers you. So I said, do you understand this?
Yeah.
So now I open my eyes, and the young lady's nodding her head yes and crying. So, of course, I could not get
right.
a verbal
right.
out of that.
Right,
so I
right.
said, okay, I'm glad
mm-hmm.
you understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that wasn't on her mind.
Sure. She wasn't thinking about the box full of cards.
That came from her and her father deciding, this is what I want you to know. So
that's good.
It's things like that.
So for people who have persistent challenges, are you under the belief system that it's we have multiple past lives and we come back to try to... before you finish, yes. Okay, so talk to me about that. People who might have the same challenge of being appreciated at work or being valued by their spouse or whatever probably have been doing this dance for lifetimes.
They have.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that you're with, your major relationships, whether it's a boss, whether it's a husband and a wife or a brother or a sister or a neighbor, when you have... truly strong feelings about a person, you've been together before.
Got it.
And there's things, and the reason you're together now, even if it's a neighbor to a neighbor, the reason you're together now is because on a soul level, before you incarnated, you said, okay, we're going to be there at the same time. Can we try to work it out this time? Meaning, let's be equal. Let's be balanced.
Mm.
You know, it's not one being over the other, having control over the other or better than.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, can we at least honor and respect each other? And that's a balanced relationship. And
got
that's
it.
What we try for.
So if there's a very combative relationship, right? I know a lot of people that have that either with a spouse or with a parent or with a child. Could it be that the roles were reversed?
Absolutely.
Okay. Got it.
Absolutely.
So this is just a karmic workout?
Yes.
Oh, great.
But at the same time,
yeah.
It's not who's going to win this lifetime.
Right.
It's about, and that's where you sometimes you do have to calm yourself and say, okay, breathe.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to say something else in response to what that person just said, but I won't. For the highest and best of myself and for them, I'm just going to let that comment go and say, can we talk about it in 10 minutes when we both calm down? Something.
Right.
It's about doing what's best, not only for, because when you do what's best for you, you really are doing what's best for everyone who's, you know, whose lives you impact with that, with that idea, with that thought, with that action.
Got it. Well, now that you're out of the closet, how is your family taking it now, what you do?
Well,
mixed bag.
it's a mixed bag, yes.
Yeah.
I'm no longer married.
Yes, so gotcha.
That didn't go over well with
okay.
the spouse. My daughter thinks it's very nice. It's a good thing. My daughter is also intuitive, but does that in a very quiet way.
Got it.
And my other siblings just want to know, like, is that working for you? And I said, yes, I help people. Oh, okay, you help people. Okay,
well, that's so good. Yeah.
So that's good.
For those who have a religious block with this because of the misinterpretations of the Bible, I've been told by a lot of people, a Roman Catholic priest gave me his blessing to talk about these kinds of things because if people really read the Bible, Old Testament and New, they would find many instances where mediumship is called upon for guidance. It's the gypsies and seers that were trying to dupe people in a couple spots that people have grabbed onto as all mediums and psychics. Would you agree?
I agree. Mm-hmm. There have been many women in particular that have come to me that after we finish a session, literally sit there in front of me and look at me and say, thank you so much for doing your work.
I have to go pray now so I don't go to hell?
No, that they themselves have either been nuns.
Mm-hmm.
They know nuns. One lady says, my best friend is a nun.
Mm-hmm.
And her uncle's a cardinal.
Oh boy.
She herself can do this, but may not. I'm the only person that she's ever told she has the ability like you, because they're afraid.
Yeah.
People come in and tell me, "Thank you for doing this."
Right.
You know, you're on the fringe, and some people are afraid of this, or some people don't understand this, but it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps people. The information helps people. It's very consoling to know that your family member, your loved one, is not gone, because they truly can still hear us and see us, send us love, send us help energetically when they can.
Right.
We're not apart, and we don't die.
Right.
And the other part of that is we are responsible for all of our thoughts and actions and deeds. So
and we too can heal. Greater gifts than these you will do. I met a Lutheran pastor who teaches about the gifts of the Spirit and about how we have them. We should empower ourselves to use them, and we're forgetting that the message is about us having these gifts, not in an ego way, but in a helping humanity way. Instead of saying you can only get there through Jesus or can only get there through this way. I believe that was a complete misinterpretation of the good book, since we didn't have anything digital, let alone typewriters, let alone pencils or pens, people. They were chiseling things onto templates. So let's get real. And translating it into different languages. So over the decades, those messages become PR messages. As we talked about, in this day and age, people can't get the news stories right. Imagine back then when things were just getting told.
Verbal history,
right? And I don't know about you, but in my family, I've got some people that after a bad game of telephone, it's like 20 minutes later, it's a completely different story.
Yes.
So we have to embrace the fact that we don't have all the answers. We have to keep asking questions and embrace the fact that if things are making you feel good, like the fact that Uncle Joe is on the other side sending love and blessings, you're not going to go to a fiery inferno for asking somebody about your dead relatives. That is not in the Bible. Would you agree?
I would. And
yeah.
The thing is, you can truly, it doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be a hard task to accomplish. Part of it is our ego. Our ego, our ego is 90% of everything we do.
Right.
But truly to connect with those who've crossed over is truly you thinking of them, you literally speaking to them telepathically through your mind and your thoughts, or literally speaking to them out loud, remembering them. It's an energy. It's telepathic. It's a thought to a thought. It's an energy attracting to the energy. They hear you. They see you. Don't underestimate our own abilities.
Do people get hooked on you, and do you have to turn them away and say you have the power to turn on your own intuition? Because I know a few people that say sometimes they can't get out of bed without calling me and going, should I shop here or should I shop there? It's like, stop. You need to think for yourself. Do you ever have that happen?
Sometimes with readings, and that's why, you know, the readings, you know, maybe once or twice a year.
Right.
Sometimes when things are very difficult, a little more often, but you really need to be listening to yourself. And that's why this calming and this stillness, also going back a little bit to meditation, is don't give up on the idea of just sitting, even if you know if it's in the morning with your coffee. How people say, hey, I need my, you know, 10-15 minutes coffee and the paper, or coffee and coffee and with the paper and pencil, I want to write down what I'm going to be doing today. That's your time. But in that time, to just truly give yourself the space to put that intention out. Okay, this is my time for me to connect with my soul, going up to being one with Creator, and allow yourself just to sit and breathe and be calm. Because us being calm, when we're calm, that's truly bringing heaven to earth. When they say heaven on earth, that's us being calm within ourselves. And then, so what happens then during the day when you're rushing and you're busy and you're like, this is, you know, this is overload, this is crazy, sit again and say, okay, I'm going to take a five, and just be back in that zone. That'll help you to think more clearly, be more on task with what you need to do, make better decisions. You even eat better and you sleep better when you can calm yourself down like that. And so don't be so hard, and you don't have to be so meticulous about, I have to be sitting. And it's great if you can sit at the same time and sit in the same place, but a lot of people can't. So it's okay, but just stop and be aware. Give yourself that space.
I have a friend who has a very tiny home and three kids, but she's dedicated a corner of one of her rooms to be her prayer corner. And it's literally, she's got a little Buddha there, a little pillow that she sits on. She looks at the Buddha. She kind of gets in her space. She's got some aromatherapy, a scented candle if it's nighttime when she gets there. And just having that little corner, she knows that's my space. That's my time. That's what I do. And it doesn't have to be a palace.
No,
it can even be in your car if that's where you have your only alone time. Just make it work. Make it matter.
I do. I say, you know, and I'm a big believer of prayer, because prayer is you conversing mm-hmm. with the divine.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a prayer that you've learned. It doesn't have to be a traditional prayer. The traditional ones actually help us to go back to the times when we truly believed or we truly were a little more open mm-hmm. to being with that source. And oftentimes they can be of comfort to us. And right. that's why sometimes it's better if you think, well, okay, I like that prayer, and that helps you to relax. But mm-hmm. your conversation, your mental conversation with Creator, even if it's just a few words saying, you know, help me now, please mm-hmm. help me now.
Right.
That's your intention. You just had, that's truly a prayer because it's communication, but communication goes both mm-hmm. ways. Mm-hmm. And once again, it's about not expecting to be hit over the head with a wonderful idea or a great new thought or something's going to change tomorrow mm-hmm. because the other side of any of our situations that are difficult, that mm-hmm. that push us sometimes to the envelope, it's because at some level we need to learn something, we need to understand something, and maybe mm-hmm. there's a limiting belief that we have, or maybe there's some kind of belief that we're judging others,
right.
And we're getting to that point where we need to say, okay, am I going to change?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way? And that's what your soul always wants. Your soul wants you in your highest and your best,
right.
meaning put the drama away, put the nastiness away, you know. Treat people, it's a golden rule.
Treat people the way you like to be treated.
The way you want to be treated.
Think about your movie, right? If you're going to have your life review and you want to sit in a movie theater, what movie do you want to watch back? Unfortunately for me, my movie is going to have a montage of me honking my horn and flipping myself off. But other than that, it might have some good moments too. So to everyone out there listening, think of that and put out what you'd like to receive back. Elizabeth Romo, how can people find you? What's your website?
ahavenforangels.com.
ahavenforangels.com. Okay. Are you a Facebooker, a Twitterer, any of that stuff?
I'm on Facebook.
Okay, Facebook. Elizabeth Romo, R-O-M-O. Also, come to Chicago Ions at Evanston Hospital on Saturday, February 11th. The meeting starts at 2 o'clock. Everybody's welcome. A $20 suggested donation at the door to hear inspiring stories. Elizabeth will take the stage, and they also pass around the microphone for others to share their near-death experiences or wonderful sort of God winks. It's just a great way to get in touch with the community, and I recommend anybody, if you haven't been there before, go the second Saturday of every month to Chicago Ions. Thank you, Elizabeth, for being
in
studio.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thanks for doing what you do. Everybody, stay spiritual, damn it. I'm Jen Weigel at jenweigel.com, and we'll see you next time.